So I'm at the Bucks game, right? And we get that turnover on the first drive, you know, if we're driving the football.
Yeah.
And it's fourth down and three. And I got these two jabronis sitting behind me going, they're just trying to get them off sides. And I turn around and I go, my coach is going for it.
Oh, you knew he was going for it.
I said I knew he's going for it there. Cause
I'm going to tell you, I did not know he was going for it. I'm like, Rob, what are we doing? Rob, I'm so glad you went for that. Kyle Pitts, I love you, man. Coach Raheem Morris joining us right now here on Dukes and Bell. What's going on, Coach?
Going great. I love to hear you guys talk about stuff I'm not here.
It's the truth. That's what happened. It's Monday, we were talking about it. He's at the game arguing with fans. We're going for it. I'm at home like, Rob, what are we doing? We don't go for it. Oh, thank God we went for it. So, in those moments, you said this to us. We're going to be aggressive. That was a fourth and three. That was a big spot for us, Coach.
Was it fourth and three?
Fourth and
I got a good shot of you right there.
Fourth and three.
We, you know, like I said, I talked about it a little bit last time, but like you got to give enough credit to the people around you when those things are happening. Those decisions are made. Obviously, I make the decision. I get the blame. I get the credit, whatever that is. But those decisions are definitely made behind the scenes. You know, like I mentioned before, Tim Berbenek does such a great job of giving you your options. Mm-hmm. Zach Robinson does a great job of always being ready. You know, Jimmy Lake does a great job of always being ready. Special team wise, do a great job of always being ready because you just never know where you're going to be. So in those situations, you're talking about all your decision makers being locked and loaded and ready to go to either go score, to either have to defend like it's a turnover, or to be ready to transition to whatever you want to do if you do something special teams wise. So like, I think those decisions are all made behind the scenes with us, and like, we've had a really good success rate as far as our operation, whether we've got it or not. I really like what we've been doing.
We were talking a lot about the approach, and it seems like, did you guys take Bucky Irving away, or did they take Bucky Irving away? Either way, the run game disappeared, and you guys got after it.
You know, I think Bucky came out hot, and he made it wasn't like there were holes that he was just running through unblocked. You know, he made some people miss.
Right.
And he came out, and he was really moving. He was doing some really good things, and like, they started off, I think, in that first half, maybe 62 yards rushing. One big play in that, or two, maybe two, but he was able to do some really good things. Our guys settled down and was able to stop the run to get him up out of there, but I was really proud of how they responded, because those things can go terrible if you let them. But he did a nice job of responding. They did a nice job of coming back and stopping them and shutting them down. So our offense can do enough to win the game for us on offense.
We're talking with Coach Raheem Morris. Guys, our Falcons take on the Cowboys on Sunday right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Coach, I came in Monday. There's so many good things that are going on with our football team. But I said, I want to know your opinions of where you're at with Matthew Judon. You may be seeing something completely different on film and what we're getting as far as the ultimate results, which for fans, it's sacks. But I'm saying, Judon, step up. I'm challenging him, and I'm telling the fan base, like, I don't know if we're getting as much as we thought we would out of him. Coach, tell me where we're at with him.
You know, sometimes this thing takes time, and he's not playing to his standard. He's not playing to the standard that we expect him. He knows that. Like, it's not anything that we hide behind. There's nothing to protect the guy on. But, like, hey, he's doing some really good things outside of the sack area, but we wanted the sack area from him, and he knows that, and it's no secret about that. You don't want him to press. You do want it to come to him a little bit. You do want him to keep getting better and better, but we got to see the results start to happen at some point, and we're waiting for that. And I got a lot of confidence they will happen. You know, we're practicing too well. We're doing a lot of things too well from the classroom standpoint for it not to happen for us and for not to happen for him. And if you do the right things over a consistent time basis, it's got to go right for you. You know, I remember we got Von Miller, and the first 6 weeks we had him, it wasn't so great. And then all of a sudden, playoff Vaughn kicked in, and it turned into a whole different deal.
With the Rams.
And he looked like one of the best players that was on our team, or was the best player possibly in that playoff run. So, like, it's going to kick in for him, and he's got to stay at it, and he's got to keep working. So that's just his job. You know, like, you have tough times in this league. I'm sure you had games where you went with a minimum amount of receptions or none or some.
Yeah.
But you got to keep grinding and stay with the process. I'm sure you had those talks when you go sit in your coach's office and you try to figure out what's going on, what you want to do better, what do you need to change in your process. And that's all the stuff that you go through when you're talking about a season. And I think the thing about coaching is it's not shaming. It's getting those guys in the room, figuring out what's going wrong, finding a way to make it better, getting them on a practice field, working at those things, making it consistent, finding a way to make it come to life on Sundays, and I believe that's going to happen for him.
When he was D'ing up Rashad White on that wheel route, I was like, oh, no, but he made a play.
So, I mean, those are some of the things you don't necessarily notice when you don't get sacks, but he's doing a lot of good things for us. But make no mistakes about it. I don't want to sit here and make excuses for him, nor like I do I want you guys to.
Right.
He is expected to sack the quarterback. He is expected to cause disruption to the quarterback. Now, that was a great coverage on a really good back.
Yes.
But let's get him to make some plays in the ball.
Coach Roz with us, guys, inside the Ticketmaster Studios. I know we've asked you about specific players on the defensive rotation. Last year, we thought Eba Cady kind of turned a corner. He had six sacks. Is it what Jimmy Lake's asking him to do? Is it a different system? Because we thought he'd be a guy that would kind of take that and evolve this season.
He's actually rushing the best. He just hadn't had the actual results that you want to have. You know, him and Caden Ellis probably got the best production from a hurry standpoint. You know, for whatever reason, our whole team has just not been able to hit the quarterback. But AK is one of the guys that's rushing the right way, doing a lot of things, getting encouraged to play some inside moves, getting encouraged to take the edge, use the speed, do some of those things. We're trying to rep those guys where they're getting – so there's always a freshness involved in that. And I believe that's going to come around for him too. But I think the whole group is going to come to life. So, like, everything I just said about Judon is going to be repetitive for what the group is going to be able to do and what they're able to do. Like, now, there's always going to be situations where guys just not playing well enough, yada, yada, yada. But AK – I think his production is going to start to come in pretty quickly.
You have an amazing background as a secondary guy. What the hell makes Jesse so good? Because he's – coach, every week he's doing – that punching the ball out, that's so instinctual. Mike and I were talking about this earlier in the week, where it's one thing to attack a guy and want to make a tackle, right? I got to get this guy down. It's another thing. You see him running up and going, I'm about to punch this out. And he's literally loading up, and I'm going, and I'll be damned, he knocks the ball out. He got another fumble recovery. Jesse's doing it every week. Why?
So the funniest thing about him, I'll give you a story before I even answer the question about Jesse, but I'm like, literally – we played the Bucks a couple weeks ago at our home Thursday night game, and then we played them again just recently last week, yada, yada, yada. And I've been able to sit around Rondé Barber in both of those games, right? So Rondé came to visit us on the Thursday night game, and he's saying, this Jesse guy is amazing. And he says, he says he has no regard for his body when he's going after the ball. And he said, that's what separates him from me. He said, I have ball skills. He said, Jesse has no regard of his body or potentially missing a tackle in order to get the ball. He just hits the ball more than most. And he says, he knocks it out with a certain intent that is just unbelievable. And I thought, that is well said about Jesse. And like, he is obsessed about it. And when he approaches every single tackle, you can just see it that he's going to look for this ball that he knocked out in the second play of the game or the third play of the game, whatever it was. That thing was tucked in there pretty good. And yeah, for him to be able to knock that out and also recover it, and him to get up and really be one of the only two people in the stadium to know was even a fumble.
Right.
But to have the wherewithal to recover it, yeah, and then to get up and make the officials second guess themselves, right, that's special.
And then, of course, the pick where he steals the ball on the flea flicker. The other thing is, because I was sitting four rows back, it's the first time I got to see the guys up close, because I'm all the way up top at Mercedes, is when A.J. Terrell makes that amazing diving interception. And to see the reaction, all the way the defensive players came around, everybody was so hyped for him in that moment.
I mean, just what a great awareness by A.J., right? That's not his man. He falls off. We're a little behind and a flat player getting beat, turned up field with Richie Grant. He falls off. His buddy comes over the top, makes a great play, diving interception and pick it off. And those are the things that you expect from A.J., right? So, like, when A.J. was growing up and he can touch the ball, he can really go up there, compete and play really hard. We all wanted the interceptions. Y'all wanted that type of production, and now he's giving it to us, right? He gets his big contract. Usually people take the foot off the gas. Mm-hmm. Not AJ, right? He continues to work. He continues to grow. He continues to get better. He continues to accept the challenges of the best receivers in the world every single week, and he's got another one coming here this week.
Coach's interview brought to you by the University of Texas MD Anderson Cancer Center here at Flowery Branch. Here on Dukes and Bell, I know Kirk, I correct me if I'm wrong, came to you and said, I want to speak to the team last week. How do you make those decisions when guys want to address the team? Because timing is everything. Sometimes you're like, maybe it's not the right week, maybe it's not the right time. And then you allowed it to happen, and hearing from other guys on the team, even Jesse Bates was talking about how guys responded to it.
So it's so awesome because Kurt, you know, has contacted me twice about speaking to the team. And both times, it's always – yes, that's my quarterback, right? You brought him here for these leadership moments, and you wanted to be a player-led team, so you can't wait for him to get up there and talk to him. A lot of people don't want to get in that spotlight. But when he asks for it, it's got meaningful purpose behind it, and you know it's going to be very intentful in what he's saying and what he's thinking about. And when it comes to you and he puts together his slideshow or whatever he needs for this presentation, you kind of sit at the edge of your seat because you want to know what's going on, because you want to get into his head a little bit that way. And unfortunately, this time, I was a part of the voice notes. He sent me one of those voice notes. And I got the voice note, and I had to listen to it, and it cut off. So he resent it, so I had to listen to it all over again. And I got it, and I called him. I'm like, yes, you know, for sure, let's do this. And we had a plan, and we did it on a Friday. I do a big meeting on Thursday. I skip the meeting that we normally have on a Friday so we can put him in the forefront, let him lead. You know, everybody said he wanted to play a Latin until a player asks. And then a player asks and does it exactly how you would love for him to do. And it's something that's special is going on with this team and this unit.
Coach Roz with us. So Kirk, after one of the series, talking to everybody in the offensive line, almost like a coach working his way back and forth. Speaking of coaching, we're not asking you any questions about Kyle Pitts because he's contributing, and again, to see him in the red zone and those touchdowns. But obviously a teaching moment with the ball at the goal line, and what did you say to him?
Yeah, lucky moment. Right, a lucky moment for us, you know. Like that is, if you got to learn a lesson, learn it like that, right? Let's learn a lesson that way, because we know what these lessons look like in NFL. We saw it in Washington, you know. We almost saw it in our game. When those lessons are hard-earned lessons, and those are tough things you do because of mental lapses at that point and what's going on in your life, right? And then, the number one thing we've been since the season started is finishers, right? Whether we've lost the game or we've won the game, we've been finishers. And, like, that's all a part of finishing, right? It's the mentality of finishing everything we do at the highest level. And, like, you could put it in different words that I might have said to him on game day, but the ultimate lesson was that Kyle needs to finish because of how capable he is. He has those balls in his hands like that. And it's not going to be the last time he's like that, right? He's shown us some stuff in the last couple of weeks that are special. And we got to just find ways to get him in those areas so he can make those things happen.
Coach, let's talk about Dallas. It's a big one for us on Sunday. I was talking to guys there today, and listen, the Cowboys, you know, all the fans there in Dallas, everybody's looking at us and they're going, oh, they're really good. What's the deal with the Falcons? And I think for them, you know, I said to our listeners, they're coming in here desperate, right? They've lost four in a row. They're feeling some kind of way. Mm-hmm. I don't know what the injury situation is going to be, but it doesn't matter. Do you look at them similar to how, you know, this was just a few weeks ago with Seattle? Like this, we just have huge momentum right now coming off of this division win. Coming into Sunday, I said, we can't be flat again. We got to come in with some urgency and some energy.
I don't. That's what the growth mindset is all about. Right, you have those losses versus Seattle, and you better take those things and learn those lessons. I think I said a couple weeks ago, every loss you've ever had, you get a lesson from. And we better take that lesson from Seattle and apply it to this week. Right, come out ready to go, fired up, not holding. You can get humbled in this league really quick.
Sure, right.
And
sure.
And we all know that. Like, and this is Dallas Cowboys with CeeDee Lamb and Dak Prescott and guys that play at a high level all the time. And if you think any otherwise, you're fooling yourself.
Everything good with Chris Lindstrom? I know he could have gone back in. You said, well,
so
keep you out.
Chris, you know, just to know, Chris was clear to go back in. Obviously, coach's decision to hold him back with the game where it was. And we got some good depth. Let's just say that. And I got a lot of confidence in our guys.
Hinton was solid. Right.
So today, we were able to get him out there into his role that he actually had in practice and do those things and to walk through and then figure out what he's going to do there. And then we expect to ease him back into the program to get to the fold to hopefully make those decisions on Sunday.
Do you have a special outfit like you go through on Sundays where you're looking at what you're going to put on, like the hat? Which hat? No, I'm going to go with the red, not the white. I mean, do you go through a process?
Does Bassity lay it out for you?
Let me tell you something. There is no chance I'm letting Bassity pick out an outfit for me. He's going through a midlife crisis, guys, and he dresses way below his age.
He does.
So I am not letting him pick
he
it
does.
Out.
He does.
You know, so – not on home games. There's no real thought process.
No, you just grab whatever.
Right. You just grab something to go and go to work. Definitely on away games, I'm a suit guy on away games.
Yeah,
so I like to put those things together.
Pretty tight suit you had on.
I mean, you know, I try to keep it clean.
You look good. You look good. You gotta look the part.
Right.
And he's doing that, guys. Let's hopefully we look the part on Sunday. Coach Raheem Morris, thank you.
Thank you, guys.